No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, morning. Right there. Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Into the world, West Alabama. How we doing today on this beautiful Thursday? It is a beautiful Thursday. The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are watching us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. You're listening to us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on my own social media machines, at JoeGaither6. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You can find the show on the Bama Central Facebook channel. That's where we're broadcasting live, where we've been broadcasting live for the last 2 or 3 weeks, trying to grow the Bama Central Facebook channel. You can find the Joe Gaither Show on Facebook as well. We got our own little business platform page as well. Having a lot of fun on all the social media machines, wherever you find us. And that's why we thank you guys for joining us, because you guys make the show go. We're here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios, live off of McFarland Boulevard, proudly sponsored by Warren Tire and Auto, the Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961. They got two great locations to serve you, right there on University Boulevard or on 15th Street. You can check out Warren Tire and Auto for all of your automotive needs. We'll tell you more about them in just a little bit. We're going to have a lot of fun today. I hope we're going to have a lot of fun today. What are we going to do? You follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. Mason, good morning. Here's what we're going to do. And then we'll let you say hello. We're going to do NCAA tournament, obviously, as it starts off today. We'll look at our brackets, our last look at our brackets. We will. I have a meaningless debate for you that may not hit home at all for you. But this morning, as I'm getting up, I'm getting going, this hits me. So I'll throw this debate at you when we talk about NCAA tournament.
I can tell you, I took a personality test one time, and it told me that my personality type was an arguer. So I'll argue about literally
anything. Okay, good. All right, well, we'll save that meaningless debate here in just a minute, and then I want to talk about how I had a pro day. I was in the Hank Crisp indoor facility yesterday, and we saw Jalen Milroe throw. I want to talk about Alabama Pro Day. I want to talk about Jalen Milroe, and I've got a take about Alabama football developed from yesterday's Pro Day that may or may not ruffle some feathers. So with all that, Mason Woods, good morning. How we doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
How's the Red Bull today?
Oh, it's fantastic. I had to go with one of the nice 16 ounces today.
You know, it's a big day.
I stayed up far too late last night playing WWE, full disclosure. So I was reeling a bit when I woke up this morning.
Are you a creative character? Are you doing GM mode?
Yeah, rolling with the, what is it, Undisputed or My Rise or whatever they call it.
You know, yes,
yeah,
sir.
I've got a nice luchador character I've been rolling with. Just played through the war game part of the storyline last night. It was a good time, so. But, you know, that took me to about 2:30 in the morning, and then I probably didn't go to bed until a little bit after that. So we were feeling good. Got up, got the Red Bull, and then got in here and realized, oh, I forgot my tripod, so I'm now on this side of the couch today. So it's a little different, you know. Apparently, some people think that we don't actually do the show from the same room. I'm here to let everybody know we do actually do the show from the same room. It's just typically I'm on my own camera. But, you know, we got a bit of a different setup today, so we're going to make it happen. I'm excited to get into some things. Excited to hopefully get into what sounds like maybe a fun argument.
Let's start with Alabama football because that's where we were yesterday. We'll save the real juice for the end, the NCAA tournament. We want to remind you that the NCAA tournament, our bracket challenge, is open. You can find that on all of our social media machines, MAWoods_JoeGaither6. We have, 138 participants. 138 participants cost Joe Gaither $34.50 that you can win. Every person entering it, I will add a quarter to the pot, and then I'll add another quarter to the pot if you comment that you are subscribed to the Joe Gaither Show on it. Whatever. You can do it on Theo Fernandez_, Mason, MAWoods_, or myself, JoeGaither6. You leave a comment. Well, a screenshot showing that you're subscribed to the show, I will add another quarter to the pot. Now, the
what if you do all three? If someone comments under my account, your account, Anthony, is that 75 cents?
That's like this is the idea here.
One subscription.
Yes, this is the idea here. Like I don't. The idea is to game the algorithm a little bit.
We're growing a community.
Exactly. So comment the same photo on Mason's. Hey, Mason, we're going to cost Joe a lot of money. You comment the same thing on Theo's. Hey, Theo, I really wanted you to have the Bama in the NBA report on Monday, and you didn't have it. So boo on you. And then you commented on mine. Hey, buddy, I'm taking all your money. And boom, you just made 75 cents.
Hey.
And then you tell all your friends, what's this, 138? What's this, 138 times three? Boom. You guys, there's going to be some actual, you can have dinner at a Taco Casa. That's 413 times, 0.25. Boom. That's another $100. So you guys get $135. All you got to do is comment on our social media machines right there. All right. So we'll get to the NCAA tournament. But yesterday I was in the Hank Crispendorf facility. Do you want to start with Jalen Milroe's performance singularly, or do you want to start with my take on Alabama football that developed through the day yesterday?
Let's get the Jalen Milroe out of the way because I think, and maybe this is just my own social media feeds, but I have seen far too much overreaction to what really seemed like a pretty mundane pro day to me.
God, yes. I mean, first, I will always be happy to be in the building. It's much cooler than doing anything else.
Sure.
Much, much, much cooler than doing anything else in my life or serving tables, digging ditches, whatever you want to do.
But boy, oh boy!
Yeah, let me ask you: What's Jalen's goal yesterday? What are we trying to prove? What are we trying to accomplish? So we'll start right there.
I think your goal one is you run a good enough hand time 40 that people can kind of say, "Well, if it was a later time, it'd still be a pretty good time," because that's the only advantage I can see to only running the pro day 40 is that you leave that kind of gray area where it's people can kind of argue, "Oh, well, maybe he is really fast." And then, I really don't know. I mean, I guess you want to you threw at the combine, so I don't really know what else you're trying to prove here at your pro day by throwing. Like I said, the 40, I guess, was the biggest thing for Jalen Milroe was just to try to confirm to everybody that he does have this speed that we've been told about, this speed that has been ranted and raved about all season, which – look, I know the 4.37 was posted by Alabama football, and a lot of people rolled with it. But that angle there, that video, it didn't look like a 4.37. I've watched a lot of 40s in my day, watched a lot of combines, watched a lot of pro days, watched a lot of guys who did actually run very fast 40. They look very different than Jalen Milroe running his 40.
All right. Yeah, I think you're on track here. I think you're on track here in a couple of ways. The biggest is that, yes, we wanted to see the 40. Jalen comes and talks to us later. It's like, oh, got to give the people what they want. You can watch Jalen Milroe's interview on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You can watch the entire 25 minutes of Jalen Milroe throwing his whole 25-minute workout. I'm sitting on this on the side. Oh, my gosh. I need to look at my phone. My phone storage actually after that and delete that video because it was. I'm sitting there 25 minutes. And I tried my best to keep him in frame as best I could, him and the receiver. But things are moving kind of quickly here and there on a phone, on a tripod.
But you talk about like phone store. I'm such a hoarder when it comes to that. Like You know, I went to Pro Day when me and you both worked at Tide like 4 years ago. I still have videos on my phone from that Pro Day just because, like, it's kind of cool, you know?
It is cool.
I am so bad about having, like, I will keep the most just randomly, like, that was kind of interesting to me one time. Yeah, that'll be locked in a camera roll for the next 10 years.
So Jalen runs the 40. And here's what happens.
Get the head-on angle so you can really tell how fast it was.
Yeah, too. I'm sitting on the sideline. Well, all the journalists are on the sidelines. All the journalists are on the sidelines, which is roughly 15 yards away from the from the finish line. The starting line is all the way down at the end zone. So you're 40 yards, all obviously, duh. You're really 55 yards or so, because we're kind of down past the finish line trying to get good angles for our videos. So you don't see the start. First, guys, you don't see the start up close, which is fine. Like, if you know that and if you acknowledge that, I don't need to see the start. I did not have my stopwatch out yesterday. I'll just tell you that. Some of my journalist buddies did. And you're dumb. I like you as people, but that's – I looked at you and I rolled my eyes at you yesterday and you saw it. Because you're hand timing a 40 from 50 yards away.
Looking at it head on. like you said, you can't see – the exact, you know, the split second start and end.
Oh, my gosh. It's infuriating.
It is a futile practice. You know, that's, and I understand, you know, why I understand doing it. I mentioned that I got to go to, had the opportunity to go to Pro Day however many years ago now. And like, I did the same thing, filming everything, trying to time everything just to put out my own random times and see what it is. None of them, I'm sure, were even remotely accurate. But yeah, it is a kind of pointless thing to do. Just kind of sit there and observe, take what you know, take everything you can get with a little bit of a grain of salt, because it is a scripted event kind of put on by the team that is in the business of making sure he is drafted highly. So,
did you think Jalen Milroe was slow before yesterday? Did that ever come to your mind?
No, I've never once thought he was slow. I don't really understand where this kind of narrative. I don't even think it is a narrative. It feels almost made up at this point that people think Jalen Milroe is slow, because I've never, from what I can recall, actually seen any real criticism of that. It just seems like you know, it's like the Jordan thing where he just had to make his own motivation almost, or the Milroe supporters, people in Milroe's camp are telling him like, hey man, you know, people think you're slow. I don't know. It's very strange.
So. The 240s themselves, he runs, he's clocked anywhere from 4.37 to 4.52, okay, in both the 40s, all right? And so this is what you, like, okay, it's so infuriating, because we're not sitting there with lasers. I'll tell you, he looks fast to me. He looks fast to these average eyes. Now, I'll tell you that I thought the second 40 was worse than the first. Apparently, you watch the films and you read online that 4.37 is from the second 40. Well, I thought the second 40 was worse because it looked like he stumbled to me from where I was. But all that to say is that's how confused, not confusing, but how easy the optical illusions are. He does. I'm over there 50 yards away, right? The start of his second 40 is where I thought, oh, he stumbled. I thought he slipped. No, watching it back, he didn't slip. He curves off to the left before getting back into the right. And for me, off to the sidelines, I saw the curve, and I am perceiving a slip. It's that easy. It's that easy to misconstrue things here. Like, especially when you're talking – what is it? Hundredths of a second, not tenths of a second, hundredths of a second here. And so you're watching Jalen Milroe all the way at the start. And you start and you get the stance. First thing, he false starts his first 40, which is fine. That it just happens. But that's not a detriment.
He was eager.
The point being, it's so particular. These scouts are so particular about. You have to have your hands here, you start here, you have to have 1 second of basically stillness, before you fire off. And Jalen didn't have the 1 second. He just kind of got locked and loaded. Okay, great. But, like, point being, the scout is right on top of him. We're 50 yards away. I wouldn't have been able to tell you he false started. No. I hear the scout go, whoop, 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 whoop. And Jalen slows up and comes back to the starting line. Like, you're doing yourself a disservice if you are putting out hard information from Pro Day yesterday, my opinion.
You're just getting yourself worked up over things that, you know, really are not super – what's the word I'm looking for? You know, just don't really matter a whole lot.
Impactful.
Yes, impactful. It's just this is the opinion on Jalen Milroe from the NFL has already been made at this point. That Pro Day did not really change anything. If he, you know, if the Steelers are as interested as they reportedly seem to be, given the dinner they had and then the conversations you saw Mike Tomlin having with Milroe at Pro Day, you know, if that is real, then that's been real for a while. That Pro Day had nothing to do with it. The Pro Day only maybe confirmed some things for them.
All right, perfect. That's how we can transition into the throwing. Because good job. 40 time, good. But I don't believe 4-3-7. I'll tell you that. I'll end it right there. I don't believe 4-3-7. I don't believe 4-5-2. I believe probably,
as with everything,
4-4-5. Right there, somewhere in the middle. Right smack in the middle. He ends up with a 4-4-3. Good time.
Yeah.
For a quarterback, bleeping elite. Elite.
Yeah.
Elite. If you are counting the 4-3-7 in your own heart, that is only behind one Michael Vick and one Lamar Jackson for quarterbacks. So pretty fast. The throwing. Who cares first? Because you're throwing against air. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of this is construed. All of this is just it's so terrible. And you got Jordan Palmer, who was cool to watch him work. Absolutely, quarterback guru. It was very cool to watch him work. He comes up to every rep. He goes, "You got a 7 yard stop, right?" And he's hollering at the receiver, 7 yard stop, ready." And they go. He's like, "Oh, 15 yard over." You know, and he's just calling out routes that these receivers are running. He's, you know, "All right, we're running Hank. This is man up, you know, middle of the field Hank from tight end, right? And, oh, halfback wheel route, halfback free release wheel route." So it's cool to, like, hear all the terminology. "Oh, you're going to run a bang in right here." And, like, okay, you're getting kind of the terminology right there. Well, did we learn anything? I didn't learn anything about Jalen yesterday. I'll tell you that.
I think the most exciting thing, you know, that I saw, like, clip-wise from that was Isaiah Horton running a route that looked really just nice and smooth. And I was like, "Oh, that guy, he moves quick. He moves really well. That guy's impressive. He's a physical specimen." That was about the only thing, because, yes, like you said, none of those throws – I was not shown anything new that I didn't already know about Jalen Milroe.
No.
You know, I didn't learn anything about him. I was not – like we said, he didn't play – it wasn't a terrible performance. It just – he didn't learn anything. It
doesn't matter, Mason, because there's no one in your face. There's no timing. There's no reading of the defense. Like, that's the question mark for you, Jalen Milroe. It's not can you throw the football. Like, buddy, I've seen you throw it under no pressure and – you know,
we know
just like yesterday, most of the throws are pretty good, but you still had two or three poor errant throws, and almost all of them were to the right hand side, high and long to the right hand side, high and long to the right hand side. We know that you can make most of the throws. Can you read the defense as the bullets are firing? Can you make a decision? Can you throw with anticipation? You didn't show any of that yesterday. There was, you know, not really any of that. So I think it was a bunch of hooey yesterday. It doesn't really matter about anything.
Yeah, no. You didn't learn anything new yesterday. Like I said, like we said, going into it, you weren't going to learn anything new. No new opinions from the NFL have been formed on any of these players. Pro Day really, to me, is just kind of a thing for fans and media to show up and see people and talk about the program and talk about this team and talk about, "Oh, the so-and-so has this many players at their pro day that are going to be NFL draft hopefuls." And it just really kind of looks good on the program more than anything.
Everett Osborne asks, when is the NFL draft? I'm pretty sure it's April 24th, right?
24th.
Yeah, 24th for Everett Osborne. That'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll watch that, obviously, with bated breath and anticipation. Brother Mason, I've seen little Cam Ward.
Smoke screen season.
Okay. All right. I've seen Cam Ward paired up with the Titans. I know that's not what we're about here. I just wanted to get your feel.
Flying season.
All right. We're lying about Cam Ward, trying to get somebody to trade for him.
Mm-hmm. Giants. Knock them aboard. Come on up, New York.
Okay. I'm still with you there. I'll follow you. Everett Osborne, I'll hit your other two comments here as we approach those two subjects as well. I want to move into the other take that I have about Pro Day because we've already spent too much time on it. There were 9 Alabama athletes that competed yesterday. There were 11 on the card. You didn't have Jihad Campbell. You didn't have Malachi Moore. Both dealing with injuries. Malachi still with his hernia, and Jihad Campbell had something with an arm, a shoulder. It was
a labrum that he had surgery to fix.
Okay, all right, good. It was definitely in a sling.
That was the same thing that I had to have surgery on to fix in high school.
So oh, great.
Me and Jihad Campbell, high-level athletes, getting shoulder injuries.
One-to-one comparisons here.
I will say that in my own case, to this day, it still hurts. So, Jihad, do your physical therapy. don't take it. As unseriously as I did.
To your rehab. Mason, 9-4 was exactly right for this team. Look at the – hold on. I want to read this off just so I'm not – look at the talent that's on the – and they are talented. They are talented. But look at the talent that was on display for Pro Day. Okay. Who's your best player here? Tyler Booker, James Burnham, Jahad Campbell, CJ Dupree, Nealon Hibbett, Jalen Milroe, Malachi Moore, Graham Nicholson, Robbie Oates, Quandarius Robinson, or Tim Smith.
I mean, if Kalen DeBoer has anything to say about it, it's James Burnett. But
okay, pause. The fact that was the point I was trying to get to. You're being silly, but there's merit in the point a little bit.
If we're going by just how good that player is at their position, Burnett might have been the best one there.
Your best players on this team are a punter, an offensive guard, and a safety.
Woo. Do you know how much the NFL loves their punters, guards, and safeties?
Exactly. Like, these guys are good Alabama players, are probably pretty good. I mean,
I would say at worst, starters in the NFL.
Okay. Three of them. I'm sorry. This is just gotten me fired up. Is the fact that you look at this team and you're like, oh, they're unbeatable. Oh, so great. Unbelievable offensive line. Unbelievable this. Unbelievable that. And it's like, you look at the NFL talent that they're putting into the league, and it's a bunch of fifth rounders.
And to think the amount of Alabama fans still, I mean, even, you know, this far after the season is concluded, calling for should have fired DeBoer.
Foolish. God. And people are going to hear this like I'm talking bad about Tim Smith or Quandarius Robinson. And it's like, okay, yeah, I'm not hating on those guys. I think Tim and Quandarius Robinson maximize their value for themselves. I think Malachi Moore, I mean, this is the old Coach Saban line, maximize the value for themselves. I think you look at those guys on an individual level, they maximize their own individual value. Great job. Congratulations. Roll Tide to them. Good. Go get your checks. But then you contextualize that in these were your best players this year. These were your, these are the guys that you're leaning on to impact the game. And Tim Smith is a rotational defensive lineman. Quandarius Robinson is a rotational edge rusher. I'm sorry. This is what you're leaning on and you're expecting more than 9-4? You're foolish.
It is just a completely foreign concept for Crimson Tide fans at this point because they were so spoiled under Nick Saban, where it was every single year you're pumping out a minimum of 2, 3, maybe 4 draft picks, probably. First-round draft picks. You know, probably, you know, close to a dozen total, probably. And then
you got 2 first-rounders here. Keep going. 2 first-rounders.
Yeah, you got 2. 2 first-rounders.
And what positions do they play?
You got linebacker and guard. Neither of them are premium positions. They're both valuable, don't get me wrong. Those positions are needed on the football field. They're one of the 11 that makes everything work. But they are not the guys that are signing the big checks. They're not the guys that are making all the money once they get to the league. it just really contextualizes everything for this Alabama team when you look at it from that lens of how much NFL talent was on this roster. Now, that's not to say that there's not a lot of young guys who in a year or 2 years' time.
Keep going with your context. We got a lot of defenders back that could have been pro day guys. Keep going with your context.
Yeah, it just really, like I said, it contextualizes everything. It makes that 9-4, it puts it in so much more perspective because you realize that, wow, you know, the top-end talent of this team is not really top-end talent. It is, at best, like you said, a lot of mid-round NFL talent, which is still good, still better than a lot of college football, and that explains why they went 9-4.
Your first two draft picks, what, 2 years ago, were Bryce Young and Will Anderson, the two most premium positions in the NFL, quarterback and edge rusher. Now your two top draft picks are offensive guard and off-ball linebacker. Jihad Campbell, if he were not able to edge rush, would not be a first-round draft pick.
No.
The reason he's a one is because he can also edge rush. And Tyler Booker, as much as I love you and think the absolute world of you, has fallen through the draft process.
I mean, there's a chance he falls all the way out of the first round, possibly. Oh, I don't think it's going to happen, but, I mean, knock on wood, you know. At this point, I don't want to say solidified himself, but basically has, you know, after that, kind of in that late teens to 20s range, and I think once you get to there, a lot of it is just, you know, a lot of it is just up to a team's preference, so he could kind of slip out of the first round. It's unfortunate, but it just is what it is. This team, this year's team, did not have the same level of or the same caliber of talent that we have seen in years past. And right. To go 9-4 was impressive.
Yeah, so you bring it back. I mean, the extra context, you probably would have seen Damani Jackson yesterday at Pro Day if he had declared early. There's your premium position, cornerback.
Sure.
But Damani, where would you have fallen in this cornerback class? Maybe not a first-round draft pick. I think you've make a really smart financial decision for yourself. LT Overton, same sort of situation. Yeah. I think it could be a premier defensive lineman if he has another good year of tape and make himself a first-round draft pick.
But as it is now.
Caden Proctor, obviously he didn't have an opportunity to leave, but you're thinking about left tackle premium position. He's going to have an opportunity a year from now to leave early and be a first-round draft pick. These are premier positions here. What else we got here? Wide receiver, Jeremy, okay, maybe if he has a good enough year, if he's talented enough.
What obviously, Ryan Williams in a couple years.
The real dream, if you're an Alabama fan, is for Ty Simpson to win the job, play well enough, and go the Mac Jones route, first-round draft pick, open the door for Austin Mac. Dude, that's what I missed on my list, on my notes.
Uh-oh. I didn't leave the camp for a reason.
I was writing notes today before the show. I was like, I am missing something. I'm going to pull up Pete Nakos' article, and you can quote for a second.
Mm-mm-mm. We have running water now. We just added an ice machine. I got a cot in my tent with a nice foam pillow. No AC yet, no AC, but we got some box fans. We're looking good. The Austin Mack camp is alive and well. I knew I didn't leave for a reason. I knew I stayed on board for a reason. Look, I love you, Ty Simpson, but I will not, and I have not, and I never will leave the Austin Mack camp. As Joe pulls it up now, Pete Nakos did report yesterday, I believe, that, and, you know, it's, I think, it kind of gets thrown out as like, well, maybe this could happen possibly if some things maybe happen this way, and who knows, but it's out there nonetheless. Our boy, my boy, my quarterback. Austin Mack.
I'm not backtracking from Pete Nakos on Three Sports. Sources told on Three, Austin Mack put together one of his best practices on Tuesday. Oh my God, this is off one practice. I'm gonna kill you, Pete Nakos. The former Washington transfer was with Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb for 1 year and knows the system well. Despite Mack turning some heads, quarterback job still up for grabs. Ty Simpson very much in the mix. The source said Mack is a serious contender for the starting job. The Crimson Tide would like to keep the quarterback competition open through August if possible. A source said. True freshman and former 5-star Keelan Russell continues to be a factor in the quarterback battle too.
That sounds like it's still Ty's job.
This paragraph says nothing. And this paragraph says absolutely nothing. This paragraph. Mac put together his best practice on Tuesday.
Bingo.
Okay.
You know who didn't put their
quarterback job still up for grabs? If I just took a highlighter to this paragraph, quarterback job still up for grabs. Ty Simpson very much in the mix. That's my second highlight. Mac serious contender for starting job, though. Keelan Russell continues to be factor in quarterback battle, too. Like, cut the rest of the crap in the paragraph. It's a joke. It's a joke paragraph.
Well, what I think you're missing here, Joe, is that he does not say that one Ty Simpson had his best practice on Tuesday or that one Keelan Russell had his best practice on Tuesday. He said none other than Austin Mack had his best practice on Tuesday. The Austin Mack camp is alive and well.
Hey, man.
As I sit here watching this wonderful highlight.
Order your supplies.
I'm watching this beautiful throw against Mercer. Finds Rico Scott. Four to five balls. Oh, beauty.
Rico Scott looked nice yesterday.
That's what I heard as well. I believe I heard Jalen Milroe, I think, talking about how good he was. I think somebody asked Milroe about him, and he kind of expounded on Rico the exciting nice. Rising sophomore now.
All right, build your walls, you know, fortify your latrines so that you guys can have, you know, you don't have dysentery in the camp. Oh, Pete Nackos. You sneaky man. I need to write articles this way. I need to write articles like this. Today's article, sources say. Sources to AlabamaCentral.com. Keelan Russell, serious contender for starting quarterback job.
My favorite thing yesterday was everybody seeing me, or me seeing from a lot of people, Jalen Milroe runs 4.37 40-yard dash per Alabama football. It's like, oh, man, I made $1 million today per Mason Woods. Like, what the – I'm not going to believe that from them.
Ridiculous, ridiculous. Oh, Everett Osmer, Austin Mack and Mason Woods become president. Everyone wins.
I'll be the press person, the press secretary.
PR guy? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll be in there berating reporters, you know. It's kind of like what's happening now.
All right. So there's my football list, right? Pro Day, my take on the talent, and yeah, Pete Nackos and his article. Before we get to the basketball, let's tell everybody where we are. Live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios, just off of McFarland Boulevard. You can call Derek and his team, 205-758-3391, for all of your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much Derek can save you today. He's got great teammates upstairs. They would love to talk to you. Red, Reese, and Victoria, they are staring at the phone. You should make it light up. 205-758-3391. Look, I don't like talking about insurance myself, but they are super friendly. They make it very easy. They answer my questions, and they get me off the phone back to my regular life ASAP. So call them, 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much Derek can save you today.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Even though severe cases can be rare, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is still the leading cause of hospitalization in babies under one. RSV often begins like a cold or the flu, but can quickly spread to your baby's lungs. Ask your doctor about preventative antibodies for your baby this season, and visit protectagainstrsv.com. The information presented is for general educational purposes only. Please ask your healthcare provider about any questions regarding your health or your baby's health.
Is Bronny player? Sorry, popped up, and is Bronny James the first just player at his level to get fully, like, I'm looking at from The Athletic, a full feature story? Bronny James. This is ridiculous, folks. This is so off topic, but it just really got me bothered. Like, the Bronny James thing has gone so far. Like, folks, I understand he's playing relatively well in the G League, but he's playing relatively well in the G League. We do not need to be writing full features about him. We do not need to spend an hour every morning talking about Bronny James. Let's just drop it, people.
What's Jesus' son?
Ugh. Well, apparently, if you say anything about him, he's going to come confront you in public and try to fight you on the NBA court. Come on, LeBron. Come on the show, please.
3, 4. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it.
All right, Mason Woods, it is officially the first day of the NCAA tournament. And I cannot wait for it. We get started roughly 11:15 right there on the CBS, on the True TV, on the TNT. There's one more, right? TBS, True TV, TNT. TNT, of course. So, going to be a lot of fun. It had me thinking today as I was getting excited. I said, I got 3 days on the sports calendar. And I was like, there's got to be a fourth to round this out. Four options. What day is the best day on the sports calendar? The first day of the NCAA tournament, the opening day of the Masters, or national early signing day in December? What is the best day of the sports calendar? And we're leaving a fourth open for Mason Wood's suggestion, for your suggestion. Maybe Super Bowl Sunday? No, I don't think so. I don't think that's in the
same camp. Oh, it's the draft.
Ooh, NFL draft. You're right. Thursday night, NFL draft is huge for us poor saps.
Man, I was really about to go off on how much I love the first round of the NCAA tournament, but it does not even come close to the draft. Oh, I love the draft so much. Oh, you want to get me fired up? Oh, man, I'm ready for April. I love the NFL draft. That is my favorite time of year. Favorite 3 days of the year. But the NCAA tournament, the opening round, is a very, very close second. This is the best 48-hour period in the year. You know, you draft, you get to 72, you get 3 days. This is the best 48-hour period of the year. So I am stoked to watch these games today. We got some good games today. I know you got them pulled up here. So I'm very excited to watch some of these matchups. I love the NCAA tournament. Like I said, you know, I remember being in, like, high school and just sneaking out of class to go watch just bits and pieces of every game that I could because our football coach would be streaming them on his work computer. Just good times. Like, I don't see – I am not a person that is like, I'm watching every single basketball game every night of the week, watching every team all around, but I will lock in once the tournament happens, and I will watch every bit of basketball I can this week and moving forward.
11:15, we get it started with an 8-9 matchup, the Creighton Blue Jays against the Louisville Cardinals. Bleep you, Creighton. I hope you lose in horrific fashion. I hope you lose in the most heartbreaking fashion possible. Triple overtime. I don't want triple overtime because Louisville has to be fresh.
Louisville will be fresh.
Be fresh for that Auburn matchup.
Let's get a nice, like, 92-73 Louisville win.
Yes, I would like that. Go Cardinals right there in Lexington. What stands out to you today? All right, I'm just going to roll these right out, and then you get a chance to say what stands out to you. Creighton, Louisville, 11:15. High Point, Purdue, 11:40.
High Point University, have you ever, like, looked at that place?
They're, like, online, aren't they?
It's, like, the craziest university I've ever seen. Have you ever seen it?
No.
It looks like a fantasy land. Like, it's like Disney World. It is, like, castles and the most beautiful architecture.
Mom, why didn't you send me here?
It's cost $78,000 a year to go. That's why you didn't send me.
Thank you, Mom.
Yeah, there's just tucked away. I don't even know where it is. But I was listening to an NBA tournament preview podcast yesterday, and they kind of went off on how strange this school is.
It's in North Carolina. High Point, North Carolina.
And it previously was High Point College, and then, you know, a lot of money was put into it by someone, and now it is a university. Very strange.
A university.
Yeah, very, very weird. High Point. Nothing really – I have nothing about their basketball team, but just a strange university, you know, in the vein of like a GCU or something making the tournament.
High Point, Purdue, 11:40. Montana, 14 against 3. Wisconsin, 12:30. Southern Indiana University, right? SIU? Southern Indiana University, Edwardsville against Houston, 1 o'clock. Houston going to crush them. Alabama State. Come on, Hornets. Aren't they the Hornets? Alabama State against the Auburn Tigers.
Electrifying win against St. Francis for Alabama State.
That the heave you just showed me.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was awesome and horrible.
Yes, yes, but it was awesome. It was March in a nutshell.
I'm going to throw this ball into a sea of humanity. Every hand is going to touch it and pop the ball right back up, but it's going to fall into my guy's hands for a layup. Great. Alabama State wins their play-in game, so they are officially 1-0 in the NCAA tournament, whether you count that or not in your own hearts.
They get their win bonus, I think, the monetary-wise.
Yes, sir. They're taking on the Auburn Tigers at 150. 215, McNeese State is taking on Clemson. Will Wade, VCU, and BYU. This is the Alabama pod right here. If you are thinking about the Alabama games, Alabama, 305, 11 seed VCU against 6 seed BYU. Very, very important for the Crimson Tide. I was reading about VCU. Remember we were talking about them yesterday? Mm-hmm. And we were making fun of all these – we weren't making fun of, but we were not respecting the KenPom resumes.
Valid.
What I read about VCU, remember we were talking about how slow they play? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, okay. Let me just, I don't want to make this all up. VCU, right there. Yeah, okay. 31st in KenPom, 45 overall in offense, 24 in defense, 243 in pace. What I read about the VCU Rams, I believe, is that this 243 in pace is entirely by design to drag you into deep, deep, deep water. Apparently one of the best teams in NCAA basketball in turning you over. And we're just going to slow you down, and we're just going to execute on offense, and we're just going to take good. VCU is probably the team that my cousin James loves. I bet you they're going to kill you from the mid-range. They're going to just defend, defend, defend. I'd like to see them eliminated today. I'd like to see them eliminated today in favor of BYU, a little faster team, a little better offensive team. Isn't he up for
The Virginia job?
Yeah, go ahead.
Also coached at UMBC, which is just very interesting. So Ryan Odom, the coach of VCU, I guess known for taking, you know, these smaller schools and potentially beating up on some teams he has no business beating. So we will see what happens in that one. That's an interesting matchup.
Interesting matchup. I don't really care. I'm thinking about the future.
Sure.
Not running Alabama into a team that plays like concrete.
If I'm picking between the two, I guess I'd probably take BYU because BYU plays a little bit faster. We've seen Alabama play relatively well against teams like that, i.e. Kentucky. So I would take that matchup over a slow, methodical team that's going to, like you said, drag you into the deep waters and drown you.
Continuing, 335, Georgia and Gonzaga, Bulldog versus Bulldog. 505, Wofford, the Terriers against Tennessee. You've got 610, Arkansas and Kansas. That's what I'm going to be interested in.
I need, and I don't think we're going to get it.
But Bill Self and John Calipari fighting at midcourt.
I need Cal to win so we can get the Cal-Rick Pitino matchup.
Oh.
I need it. I need that matchup.
You dirty boy. I like it. 625, Yale.
Give me Yale.
Against, Texas A&M. I mean, this goes all into the night. 635, Drake is against Missouri. 825, Utah State, UCLA. 845, Omaha against St. John's Red Storm. 9 o'clock, UC San Diego against Michigan. There will be no Grand Theft Auto today. 910, UNC Wilmington against Texas Tech. So there's your 16-game slate, Mason Woods. I'm going to take a deep breath and you tell me what stands out to you.
I'm pretty interested in this McNeese-Clemson game, honestly. I think I've seen a lot of people picking McNeese as like a trendy team to make a run. And, I mean, I haven't watched them really this year. I know they have the electric student manager. His name is blanking on it now. But he signed an NIL deal and everything. I'm sure everybody's seen the videos of him leading the team out. So I'm interested. I think Clemson, yes, the ACC was down this year, but Clemson was probably the second best team in the league right behind Duke. So it's going to be really tough for McNeese to pull that off. But if they do, Clemson's a good team, and that would be a very, very impressive win. And that would, bode well for them potentially making a run. I will be watching that one just out of sheer curiosity to see what happens. As far as, like we talked about, anything that relates to Alabama, that BYU-VCU game, that's going to be important.
That Montana-Wisconsin game at 12:30 is also in Alabama's pot.
I imagine Wisconsin's probably going to take that one, I would think. I don't know anything about Montana, but, at 3:14, I do know a little bit about Wisconsin. They're a pretty good team, a pretty good shooting team this year. Almost won the Big Ten.
There's a lot of juice in tonight today.
Yeah, a lot of good games. I think Drake, Missouri will be a good game. I think Creighton, Louisville is going to be a great game.
Yes, starting it right off, you're going from Creighton, Louisville. You're going to keep an eye out on High Point, Purdue. You keep an eye out on the Montana, Wisconsin. Like, but this is your lunch break, guys. This is your lunch break time. Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, and Houston at 1. But boom, lunch is over at 1:50, and Auburn is on the TV. You're going to give Alabama State its respect. You have to. I'm sorry. You have to give Alabama State 10 minutes of your time. Those are the rules. Are you living in the state of Alabama and you're paying attention to the NCAA tournament? You have to give Alabama State 10 minutes of your time. All right. Once they have sufficiently bored you, because Auburn is probably going to wreck them, massive favorites, 32.5-point favorites. 2:15 hits that game that Mason just talked about. It started with McNeese and Clemson, and we are on a roll from there. You're on a roll. McNeese Clemson rolls you right into that VCU BYU game, which aesthetically will be not pleasing to your eyes, but you must watch it because that's what's coming for Alabama on the other side of the same pod, trying to get to the Elite Eight. Wofford, Tennessee gives you an opportunity to take a deep breath and kind of skip a little bit. You'll still have Georgia and Gonzaga, but
that one intrigues me.
Double dogs.
I think that's like kind of the first real opportunity on the day for the SEC to really kind of prove itself as like, all right, we are actually going to compete with the teams in this tournament that are, you know, better.
Gonzaga's going to beat them bad.
I think they probably will, but I think Georgia probably has a bit of the advantage maybe with just the athleticism of their team over Gonzaga. So if that can come into play and Georgia can, you know, pull out a win there, that would be, you know, just good for the league.
So the end of that Georgia-Gonzaga game, by the second half when Gonzaga's got control, this is your dinner time, right? This is your time to make sure you DoorDash whoever you're DoorDashing, you microwave whatever you're microwaving, whatever's on your plate. 5:50, Wofford in Tennessee, we don't care. That's your time to eat. At 6:10, you're done eating. Arkansas, Kansas. And then it just rolls into the night. Yale, Texas A&M, Drake, Missouri. I think you have three banger basketball games right there. Utah State, UCLA might give you a little chance to reprieve. Go to the bathroom real quick, get you a nighttime shower. Brush your teeth, do the nighttime routine, right? 8:45, St. John's gets on. You get you 5 minutes of the St. John's Red Storm. I know you haven't watched St. John's at all this year because you're in the SEC, but those Jokers are damn good, and they could beat Florida in the Elite Eight.
They defend
very well. And it goes into the night. You're going to have kind of wind it on down. UC San Diego and Michigan. Do not sleep on UC San Diego as an upset. I think that leaves you – I think that is your nighttime, like, taster into the next day. UC San Diego upsets Michigan tonight. UNC Williamson and Texas Tech go in the evening. Texas Tech ultimately smacks the heck out of them, but you are going to bed on a UC San Diego upset.
UC San Diego, Aniwaniwa Tate Jones.
Say that again.
He's fun. Aniwaniwa Tate Jones.
Three times.
Aniwaniwa Tate Jones. Aniwaniwa Tate Jones. I think that's how you say it.
You got it. Oh, it's going to be a
very good
day.
Player, averaging almost 20 points a game. I heard somebody mention him on a podcast, just an offhand remark, and went up and looked up his highlights. He's pretty fun to watch. 19.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 4 assists a game. 6'6", 200 pounds, from New Zealand.
Hey, down under, sort of. That's Australia, but right next door. All right, Everett Osmer leaves us with this. I have entered 15 brackets, thanks to Mason and Jeff. Mason, I hope you're right. He's trailing your picks, bro. He's trailing your picks.
That's a bold strategy, Everett.
In the hopes to win the money. You said, money. Yes, I am adding money to the pot for everyone who joins. So you've got but 2 more hours to join. And then I will add another quarter to the pot the entire 3-4 week tournament for every screenshot that shows that you're subscribed to the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. We're trying to game the algorithm. We're trying to add one new subscriber, just one. So we've got about 140 so something people in the group right now. We have one Mason Woods comment, screenshot showing. So I at least
had to make a whole like burner account just to do that, you know, because I was already subscribed myself. So I had to make a whole new Apple Podcast account. It was crazy.
I appreciate you doing that. We are done for the day. Unless you got any, was that all on my list?
I got one more thing.
Oh, please. I'm not stepping on you.
Nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I just wanted to ask you. Well, how do you feel of Scottie Scheffler's menu for the Masters? Is it a power move going with the same menu back-to-back years?
Is that what he did?
That is what he did. The exact same menu.
That's for his wife, I'm sure.
Cheeseburger sliders, firecracker shrimp, meatball and ravioli bites, Texas-style chili, wood-fired cowboy ribeye or black and redfish.
That's the same exact one from last year.
Warm chip skillet cookie. Yeah, exact same menu.
This got to be.
I think it's kind of a power move. I kind of respect it. At first, I was like, oh, that's lame. You know, where's the creativity? But the more I thought about it, the more it's just like Scottie Scheffler saying, like, yeah, of course. Of course we're doing the same thing. Of course I won again. Why would we not do the same thing?
Y'all want a different dinner? Beat me.
Exactly.
This is my dinner.
I kind of love it.
This is my dinner. This is what I eat to prep for my tournament.
You think there's any chance his wife's cooking all this? They definitely got a caterer.
Oh yeah, for sure. But like, she has a hand in it, right? Or was it Sergio's wife that was all up on the cooking?
Maybe it was. I don't remember. But I after sitting with the same menu, you know, the Spider-Man meme of the two menus for a little bit, I was like, no, I actually think I like this move. It's pretty cool.
I'm sure that I bet you Scotty and his team got together and like, all right, this worked last year. We want to tweak. Spice down this dish. We want to make the spice up on that dish. We want a little more sugar.
I do remember listening to an interview where he talked about people reacting to the Texas chili being a little too spicy.
Oh no!
So maybe he tuned it back. Maybe toned it back a little bit this year.
Really and truly, we're going with Texas chili on that. It's Wednesday night dinner, right? So that my competition, it's rumbling in my competition's bellies all weekend long.
Yeah, I mean, this is.
Are you a Masters guy at all? I love the Masters.
I'm really a Malaga's. I'll kind of just follow the leaderboard, and then I'll watch Sunday. It's typically my routine. If it's overly competitive throughout the first couple of days, I might tune in for a bit, but I'm not a wall-to-wall Masters guy. I will. Typically watch most of the Sunday coverage, but that's about it.
Oh, I don't want to do that. I want to mute this conversation. I'm getting notifications on a conversation I don't want to be in anymore.
That's one of my favorite memes right there.
Well, we don't want to talk about that. I'm just muting that conversation because I got a no. All right,
it's a bit of a heavy meal though for getting ready for the Masters. I would be wary to eat all this if I was competing.
Yeah, I think that this is an intentional play. Like, I'm trying to get all you guys sluggish.
Let me get out of here with some firecracker shrimp and maybe a little cup of chili, and I'm good for the day. Like I don't need much more than that. I don't need the whole steak. I don't need this cheeseburger sliders. I definitely don't need the cookie. I wouldn't be able to do the cookie. You know, that'd be too much. That'd put me over the limit. I don't even think I'd be able to get up for my round the next morning.
I had a good cookie last night. At dinner. That's all right.
Be fine.
I'm DQ'd.
Hey, if you're at the Masters, you probably made a pretty good amount of money that year anyway. So,
all right, I wrote down Pro Day. I wrote down Jalen Milroe. I wrote down Pete Nakos. I wrote down NCAA Tournament. That's it, right? Oh, my gosh. Do you want to talk about that AEW spot before we get out of here? you guys are terrible. You're awful. You are awful. You make this not palatable. You make this unwatchable.
That, for anyone that does not know what we're talking about, I will describe it without going into too much gory detail.
Gross!
An AEW, All Elite Wrestling. I don't – what do they air on?
On TBS on Wednesday. It's on TBS on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Okay.
And sometimes TNT. It's a Turner mm-hmm. project. And it streams on Max as well. Okay. So not only are you on offshoot brands, you're on terrible nights. Like, if I wanted to watch you, Wednesday and Saturday nights are the worst nights in the world. Sure. Keep going.
So you have this, and I don't know, again, like I said, I think Edge, or not, was it Edge? He goes
it's
by,
Edge.
He goes by,
he goes by his Copeland real name. Now. His real name is Adam Copeland. But they call him Cope.
Yeah, that's he goes by Cope now.
The rated R superstar.
What Cope. Is it the WWE owns the rights to the Edge branding or something?
Yeah,
so ridiculous. Exactly. That's so stupid. Anyway, gets to this spot, and I don't know who this other gentleman is.
John Moxley, also a former WWE guy. Dean Ambrose.
Okay, who I understand traveled very far to make it to this event, only to be suplexed onto what I can describe as a 2x4 with probably 75 to 100 nails sticking out of it. And when I say suplex, I'm not just talking about, I am talking like a real deal. Like the man, this is buried in his back. He is bleeding profusely.
Embedded.
They are struggling to pull this out of his back.
It's awful TV.
Yeah, this is the gnarliest thing I've ever seen. Like, I don't love this about myself, but I am a big, like, I watch UFC because I love the, I want to see the dudes busting each other up, want to see the blood and everything. But, like, even this got me like, oh, my gosh, this really, it made the hair on the back of your neck stand up when you saw it. Like, it's so, cringe-inducing because it looks so horrifically painful. And props to Mr. John Moxley here for apparently seemingly taking it like a champ, but oh man, this, I don't know. I've seen a lot of mixed reactions. I've seen, a lot of people say it was like super cool. Oh, this is insane.
It's not super cool.
But I think,
Think it's cool? I'm open. I think we're going you got far. Plenty of room here.
I think we're taking a little far here. I do love the, I've told you, I've been watching ever since I got a Peacock subscription, all the old ECW.
Great.
Like the death matches between Cactus Jack and Sabu and Terry Funk and Sandman and everything. Like all of those have been great. All the blood, all the barbed wire. But yeah, no, this is like just a step too far, I think. Who was it? The guy in ECW that did the spot where he put himself on it, put the guy on the cross, and it's
gone. Oh, Raven.
Yeah, in the same vein of that, where it's like, all right, folks, we've lost the plot. We've gone a little too far just for shock, pure shock value here. When we're getting away from actually like the wrestling aspect and going into just pure shock value, I think is when you lose me a little bit.
Because I wasn't watching AEW, and I don't really ever. I'll watch it from time to time.
I see highlights every now and then.
I have no idea what the context was this for. I sent this to a friend, and their immediate reaction was, for a free match on free TV.
That's crazy.
It's like, okay, AEW follows the old school strategy of, here's your two free TV shows, but every fifth Sunday. Like, their pay-per-views are still $40 and $50. Which is fine. That's their business model. Sure. No problem. That's what UFC. It's great. But you say crap like that. I mean, it is crap. And like I still would feel the same way on a pay-per-view. But like they dropped him on – like he had how many? 10, 11, 10, 15? Just nails into his back and obviously not in – like into his – how deep?
Deep enough to inch stick. And a half? Yeah, deep enough to where the – I mean,
it's a wound.
If you want to seek the video out, go for it. You can. I guarantee you'll be able to find it easily. But
John Moss.
It is bad enough to the point where there is someone, pulling this 2x4, and you can see the skin on his back going with it. It is not just like it's the thumbtacks. That's the one thing where, like, I think the thumbtacks are cool.
Yeah, because that works.
It's a quarter inch that barely pricks their skin. And, like, I've heard wrestlers talk about it on YouTube videos, podcasts, etc., where even they talk about how, like, yeah, it looks really bad, but it's not actually that bad when you do it. That's fine. That kind of stuff is cool. This, the barbed wire where they clip the ends and bend it down to get, to soften the blow a little bit, that's awesome. I'm cool with that kind of stuff. But, yeah, when we're just
– hey, let's drop you on some nails.
Yeah, there was no bit of, all right, let's soften the blow on this a little bit. This was just like, suck it up, man. You're about to get really, really hurt. And that's pushed in a little bit, We've talked about the.
I'm cool with inherent risk, but I'm not cool with just intentional stupidity.
Yeah, because this could have gone. I mean,
yeah,
it could have gone so bad. Like he is landing, it lands directly on his like spine, right in the middle of his back, just 3 or 4 inch long nails. And I get that there was a lot of them, so it's spread out. He's not getting punctured by one, but all it takes is for him to miss that a little bit, and then one errant nail, hits him in the wrong spot, and oh, you never know. He's horribly injured. He's maimed for the rest of his life. It's just, this was complete disregard for anyone's safety whatsoever, and that's maybe where I draw the line a little bit.
All right, so background. You're familiar with who runs AEW, aren't you?
Is that Shad Khan? Love or it. Tony yeah. Khan?
It's Tony yeah. Khan. It's Shad. Yeah, right. It's Shad's right. son. Right. Basically, Tony, the story that I gathered is around 14, 15, 16. Tony Khan's been bugging his dad about business adventures. Oh, let me do this. Let's do that. Try to get him metal in daddy's business. Daddy says, why don't I just buy you a wrestling company and you can just do that off to the side.
All right. Well, hey, more power to him, I guess. Wish my daddy could buy me a wrestling company. That'd be cool.
Well, I think you're missing the the funny part. Don't you think AEW is run just like the daggum Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, seemingly. I don't know much about AEW, but I guess that's a perfect prime example of it being run like the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's on television two or three nights a week, and this is the first I've seen it in months, other than people making fun of how old Edge is now, still trying to wrestle, which I get that he had a whole injury, didn't go on his own terms, whatever. He still wants to come back. But
that's another one from AEW. You got Copeland on the top of a cage, jumping off the top of the cage. He breaks his leg. It's like, dude, you're like 80. No, you're not. You're like 52.
You're pushing it, buddy.
And you, of course you're going to break your ankle. Someone in the AEW sphere would be like, hey, buddy, don't be jumping off the top of the cage.
Yeah.
You only have about a year left to work. We want to get that whole year out of you.
Yeah, no, they certainly, you know, seems like they really try to up the shock value a lot. And like I said, I love a lot of that stuff. I am here for the, you know, the crazy chair spots and table flips and light tables on fire and stuff. I think that's cool. But yeah, this was just a little too far for me. And that's really, if it's a little too far for me, you've definitely done something, because I am, like I said, unfortunately, one of those, give me the blood and gore.
We love it. We got to get out of here for the day, because I am going to talk to Alabama football players at 10:45. I didn't realize that I was looking at my schedule today. Yep, 10:45. We got some players, so you can see that on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You can check out Jalen Milrow throwing on the Bama Central YouTube channel yesterday. All the things that we saw at Pro Day is up on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We are done for the day. Remember, join the bracket challenge. You got about an hour to hour and a half left to do so. Send us screenshots of you subscribe to the show to up the pot. And best of luck. Enjoy today. We want to thank Warren Tire and Auto for sponsoring the program. They are the Tuscaloosa staple right there for all of your automotive needs. You got tires, brakes, and alignment on 15th Street. You have a lot of all other automotive needs, electrical, oil change. You got really anything you need that's not tires related over on University Boulevard. So two great locations to get you in and out. We appreciate Warren Tire and Auto for sponsoring the program. We appreciate you for watching the program, listening to the program, sending the show to a friend, subscribing to the show. You say you go ahead and rate that 5 stars, and I will love you even more. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.